All right, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. I love that song, The Old Rugged Cross. As a matter of fact, as I was sitting there, I was thinking we probably ought to sing that at least once a month. It's a beautiful song, a beautiful message, and I really enjoyed listening to the ladies play that this morning. I want to talk to you this morning. We've been talking about, over the last several weeks, dispensational differences. And I know that at times people, you know, get tired of hearing what they consider the same thing over and over. And so I'm not going to go any further with that series. We may add some things to it later on. But one of the main reasons I wanted to do that, and for you that are listening online or on Facebook, if you missed any of those messages, they're on our website. And we looked at some very significant issues. And I'm glad to have those messages there because when we get questions about those things, they're a good resource. We talked about the Great Commission. We talked about water baptism and the Lord's Supper. We talked about Paul's apostleship. We talked about the gospel. And last week, we talked about giving under grace and how it differs from under the law and under the kingdom program. With all that in mind, I thought this morning it would be a good idea to consider our stand for the Word of God rightly divided and for the doctrine of grace. And I guess if I was going to give this a title, it would be Committed to a Cause. I believe there's a reason why we should have a local assembly. I believe there's a reason why we ought to be on the radio and on the internet. There's a reason why we ought to take every opportunity to share with others the truth of the glorious gospel. And not only the gospel, but the word of God rightly divided. Because even if a person's saved, there are multitudes of people that are in bondage to religion in relation to things like giving and prayer and the idea that's presented that if you will live a certain way, that God will bless you above others. And so this morning I want to talk to you about the cause, committed to this cause. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, for this cause. Well, in order to understand what this cause is that he's talking about, I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And it's not a real long chapter, but we're going to read the entire chapter. And I want you to consider, as we read that, keep in memory that Paul said, for this cause. That's referring back to what he said in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, and you hath he quickened. That's a very important statement. We've been made alive. Paul is writing to saints there at Ephesus. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now in the first 9 verses, Paul takes us from the point of conversion, the point of being saved. Or actually, even before that, when we were dead in trespassing and sins, we were quickened, we're shown there to have our lust in things of our conversation in the lust of the flesh. And then God, by His mercy, saved us through the gospel. By grace you are saved. Then in verse 11, Paul says, wherefore remember. In other words, those that Paul are addressing at Ephesus more than likely are those that were worshiping in the temple of Diana. They were not allied. Well, we know they were not allied with the nation of Israel in any way. They were strangers to covenants of promise. So Paul calls to remembrance. He said, listen, you need to remember. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what they were before. But now, in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off, you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Now notice, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, in summary of all that I just read there, in very simple words, Paul is showing these Ephesian Gentiles that according to the promises made to Israel, there was not salvation for them. According to the kingdom program preached by the 12 in Acts, there was no salvation for them. But when Paul was saved and given the gospel of the grace of God and given the dispensation of the grace of God, the glorious truth of that is the door of salvation was open to all men. And Paul said he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave himself a ransom for all. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, for this cause. What cause is he talking about? For this cause has to do with all the things that he said in chapter 2. And part of that is asserting that the Gentiles were extended the privilege of salvation. He said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, why is Paul the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles? Well, when Paul was preaching Christ in the synagogue in the book of Acts, the first place he ever went in each city was the synagogue, and he preached there the death, burial, and resurrection. If they believed on that, then he told them how that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. But I want you to hold on here, and we're coming back, and look back in Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 22, if Daniel's a little fussy this morning, y'all have to forgive him. He has on a Georgia outfit, and I think he's really upset about that. Acts chapter 22. Sorry about that. I just had to throw that in. In Acts 22, Paul is preaching. And in verse 14, he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned, and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me," now this is Paul reciting what happened at his conversion, "and he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Now notice what it says those Jews did. "And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." You see, it was bad enough to those law-abiding Jews that Paul was preaching that a man could be saved without being circumcised, without doing any works of the flesh. But it was kind of over the top when he said, "The Lord said unto me, I'm going to send thee far hence unto the Gentiles," because the Jews hated the Gentiles. And they did not believe that salvation was available to Gentiles apart from coming through the nation Israel, as in John chapter 4, salvation is of the Jew. Therefore, back in Ephesians, Paul says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward." These Gentiles that were strangers from the covenants of promise, outside of all that, that infuriated the Jews. And so Paul was given this ministry, and Paul says, "Because of that ministry, here I am in jail, a prisoner for you Gentiles." And Paul understood that his imprisonment was for the furtherance of the gospel, as he writes about in Philippians 1 and Philippians chapter 2. So we ask ourselves, what is the cause? When David went to take food to his brothers, and Goliath was challenging the Philistine army was challenging Israel, and David said, "I'll go and I'll fight against this man." And they accused him of being prideful and so forth. And they said, "Listen, the same God that delivered me out of the hand of a bear and a lion will deliver me from this Philistine." And they didn't want him to go. They rebuked him. And his question that came back to them was, "Is there not a cause?" Paul said, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And the cause, number one, is preaching salvation by grace through faith. As in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You remember that in Romans chapter 11, verse 6, Paul said, "If it's of grace, then it is no more of works." Now, I know that there are a lot of people that preach that salvation was always by grace, and I would not deny the fact that nobody was ever saved apart from the grace of God. But there's a difference in, for example, Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord and being saved by grace. See, in my mind, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord told Noah to do something, and the Bible said he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Now, if that was grace like we have today, when God told him he's going to deliver him, Noah would have walked out one morning and the ark would have already been there. The work would have been done. Throughout the Bible. Well, look over in hold on here and look in James. Obviously, nobody was ever saved apart from God's grace and mercy. But notice what James said about the salvation of Abraham. Quite different than what Paul says. In James chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now folks, I have heard people use every kind of twist and turn that you can think of to explain those verses, and make them say what they don't say. The verses are clear. The Bible says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So it is a combination of faith plus works. As outlined in the book of James. As outlined in the gospel that Jesus Christ himself preached. When the man came and said, what must I have to do to have eternal life? And he said, keep the commandments. Listen, folks, we're living during a time when salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. In time past, people demonstrated their faith by their works. We demonstrate our faith by refusing to work for our salvation. By refusing to believe that we must be baptized, that we must walk the aisle, that we must join the church, that we must be part of a particular church, that we must give our money, that we must attend church. All of these things that religion tries to put upon people. There's a cause. People need to understand that salvation is a free gift. The salvation is trusting in what Christ did on the cross when God made him to be sin for us. There's a cause. I think about the number of people over the years since we've been on the radio and the emails and the calls that we've received. Numerous people. Now, I don't keep count. I don't keep a log or anything like that. But the number of people that heard the truth of the gospel, not just because I preached it, but because they heard it there on the radio or on TV or wherever it might be. And they heard that Christ died for them. And they trusted Christ as their Savior. I remember one man telling me that the second time he ever heard our radio broadcast, he said, how could I have missed this all of these years? All these years I've been trying to figure out how to get saved. Well, you know, it would be confusing going to a lot of these churches. I mean, I like the story Brother Brian Sykes tells about, you know, when he went down to the altar as a young man, and he said they all got around him and praying over him, and everybody, you know, crying and patting him on the back, one saying, hold on, and others saying, let go. And he said, you know, he got confused. He didn't know what to do. Well, that's the way it is. That's the confusion of a works salvation. And then years ago, a man came along, a prominent preacher out in California, and he began to preach this doctrine of lordship salvation. He wrote a book called The Gospel According to Jesus. Well, The Gospel According to Jesus fits lordship salvation. After all, Jesus said, if you don't forsake father and mother and houses and land, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. But folks, that's not our gospel. And that lordship salvation always begged the question, how would you know when you've done enough? And you've got friends, you've got loved ones right now who are in that predicament. And they may not voice it a lot, and they might not talk about it very much, but anybody that believes salvation is based on their performance, the idea is always in the back of their mind, have I done enough? Have I done enough? When will I know that it was enough? Well, you can know this morning that there's not anything that you could never do enough to make yourself righteous. Righteousness is a free gift imputed unto you when you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary and you receive the free gift of salvation. God Almighty makes you righteous. You have imputed righteousness. There is a cause. The cause is preaching salvation by grace so a lost and dying world can see the simplicity of the gospel and be saved. There's nothing that's more thrilling than hearing from someone that has done that and been delivered from the bondage of doubt and fear and wondering. I remember what it was like. Well, when we came to this church, I'd been preaching about 4 or 5 years at that time. And I began to hear the gospel preached. And I remember the first time. Well, not the first time I heard Brother Moore. First time Brother Moore preached up at our Bible camp up on Mowbray Mountain there. Brother Moore said there, I want to make something real clear. He said, Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then he turned over to 1 Corinthians 15 and he read verses 3 and 4, how that Christ died for our sins. Buried and raised again the third day. He said, here is the gospel. Now if you believe that and trust Jesus Christ, you can be saved. And it registered in my mind that night that I never remembered hearing the gospel clearly stated. And I had heard people talk about Christ dying on the cross. But a few weeks later, all of that became personal to me. Because I realized that when I, at 12 years old, joined the church, that's really all I did was join the church. There's a cause, folks. And ever since the day I got saved, I've had the desire to make this glorious gospel known. And you know, there's a lot of things that we differ on as believers, people that we, you know, interact with on Facebook. By the way, let me mention something I found pretty interesting. I don't know if there's any significance or not, but I'll take a minute and tell you what happened. Yesterday morning, I was sitting there on the patio, and I began to think about people that I knew that were going through some difficult times, and I began to pray for those people. And I, you know, when I pray, I don't get down on my knees, and I don't close my eyes. I just talk to the Lord. And so I came in to have a cup of coffee and I put on Facebook, I said, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that are hurting. There's a lot of people that have sickness. There's a lot of people that have suffered loss. And I said several other things there and I said, my prayer for you today is if you are, then you would find the grace of God sufficient in your life. And then I put that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Now, if you're not familiar with Facebook, you don't know how this works. But this morning, when I signed on to Facebook, I was waiting on the bulletins to print. And there are memories that pop up from the same day several years ago. And on the same day, in April 2012, 6 years ago, I posted that same song. I just found that kind of strange. But the fact is, that there's nothing more thrilling to me than hearing from people that have seen the truth of the gospel and the word of God rightly divided. And I'll tell you, that's the thing that ought to always keep us going. You can always be assured of this. No matter how many people get saved, no matter, as long as we're still here, there's still a ministry to be done, and there's a cause. There's a reason for us doing what we do. And I would challenge you to think about how many churches you would have to go in today across the city of Chattanooga to hear the gospel of the grace of God clearly proclaimed in simplicity. I'm not saying we're the only one. But I just want you to think about, if you were able to go to every church in Chattanooga this morning, how many do you think you would hear a clear presentation of the gospel? I'll tell you, my expectation is pretty low on that. Pretty low. Because I hear the radio and I hear the TV and I hear the preachers talking about a lot of things and even talking about grace and all this kind of stuff. But when it gets down to the gospel, it seems they always want to pollute it with inviting Jesus into your heart, committing your life to the Lord, turning over a new life, becoming a better person, and all this kind of stuff, rather than simply believing that Christ hung on a cross, died for our sins, became our sins, and by faith in Him, we have imputed righteousness. There is a cause, folks. And it's to make people known this glorious gospel. Not only that, the cause is to proclaim our position in Christ. What I mean by that? Look back in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." God Almighty has blessed us in Christ Jesus with all spiritual blessings. Now let's go back again to that analogy. How many churches do you think you'd have to go to find one that is not telling people that your blessings are dependent upon your performance? Your blessings are dependent upon what you do. If you give money, you'll get money back. On and on it goes. People need the freedom to know that their blessings are in Christ Jesus. They're not under the law. They're not under bondage. There are people who believe that if they miss church, something bad's going to happen to them. I can't tell you how many times I've had people tell me that something would happen during the week, and they'd say, "Well, I knew it. I should have gone to church." Well, you probably should have gone to church, unless you're going to one of those rogue churches out there. But God's not going to make bad things happen to you because you didn't go to church. I believe if you have a church to go to and a group to fellowship with, you ought to be a part of it, be supportive of it. And you can do that listening online. I was preaching a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. And there was a man that was not here that Sunday night, and he was listening over the internet. And I read the verse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that particular Sunday night, we just had a few people there, very few people on Sunday night. And I said, "You see, folks, that's what the problem is tonight." I said, "All those people out there in their homes tonight, in the spirit, they wanted to be here. But their flesh didn't make it." And I said, "I'm just kidding." And then I said, "No, I'm not." And a guy that was listening, he typed across the bottom, "Brutal." Sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? But you know, I don't get down on people about not coming to church. I know how schedules are and that kind of thing. I'd like for everybody that's on that list that attends here to be here every week. But I'm not going to condemn people for not doing that. But there are churches that do. There are those that put them on a guilt trip and say that bad things are going to happen to them. I mean, that's just one illustration. I appreciated what Roger said last week. He listens to us most every Sunday over the internet up in Maryland where he lives. And he came up, put his arm around me, and he said, "Brother Steve, I appreciate you being on the air, but," he said, "it's just not like being here." There are people who live in places where they would love to have a Grace Assembly to fellowship with. They would just love to have a group of people to come and sing with and meet with and listen to the preaching. But you see, the thing is that our blessings are not dependent upon what we do in our flesh, how well we serve the Lord or whatever. Listen, this is just a place we come and we get information and we get recharged. The battlefield's out there, folks. The battlefield's where we work day by day. The battlefield's where in our neighborhoods and the places we go and the people we talk to. That's where the resistance is. There is a cause to proclaim our position in Christ. To let people know the glorious great truth of Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Look over there in Colossians 2, verse 10. Colossians 2, 10, "And you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Don't you love that? Aren't you glad that you know that you're complete in Him? Rather than always trying to add something and become something that you're not and do something that you don't want to do and that kind of, we're complete in Him. He did everything. We're baptized with Him. We're circumcised with Him. We were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, and He quickened us together with Him, having forgiven us all trespasses. There's a cause. That cause is to preach the gospel of the grace of God. It's to proclaim the fact that we're complete in Christ. It's to show people our position in Christ in this present age. We're seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show forth exceeding riches of His grace. Then there's the cause of proclaiming the oneness of the body of Christ. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. See, God never intended for the body of Christ to be all divided up. And I know we talk about denominations and that kind of thing, but listen, folks, there's divisions, multitudes of divisions among those that believe or supposedly believe the grace message and so forth. But there are some things that there needs to be unity in. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, "For He is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Verse 19, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." You see, it would appear to me that there was some name-calling going on there at Ephesus. I mean, Paul says that you are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision flesh made by hands. It would sound like to me that that group there at Ephesus, the circumcision, thought maybe they were a little above that uncircumcision. And what Paul is showing them, there's no difference. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free. In the body of Christ, we're all one. And just because we disagree with somebody in a point of doctrine doesn't make them less of a saint than we are. There needs to be oneness. Now, I want to spend the last few minutes talking to about something a little different, and that is the cost of this cause. For Paul, it cost him his freedom, didn't it? He said, "I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." We know that as a result of that, Paul ended up in prison, and he was able to write the late epistles that we have of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. But notice over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look in verse 7. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. While Paul was being treated like he was a robber, a thief, a murderer. Paul's being treated terribly. He said, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Now think about that. You're out there trying to show people the truth of the Word of God, and people will look at that and say, why, you're just trying to cause trouble. You're just trying to split churches up. You're trying to get people to leave their church. No, that's not the whole... Paul said, I suffer trouble even as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. You see, it's not about us, folks. We're to preach the Word. We're to be instant in season, out of season. Look back in chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker, what? Of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now notice, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul talks about the last days. There's going to be perilous times come. And in verse 12 of 2 Timothy 3, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Sometimes you look at the evening news and you think, man, it just can't get much worse than this. It will. Notice what Paul says. Chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Is there not a cause, folks? Yes, there is a cause. Paul said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. You see, we can preach the Word of God freely without fear of ending up in jail. Paul did it knowing what it was going to cost him. And yet so many times we will stay silent because we don't want to lose the approval of those that we love, those that we're fellowship with and so forth. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering, for the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There is a cause. And the cause is making known the truth of the Word of God, right and divided, to put people in a place where they can have the liberty and freedom and joy and peace of knowing they are saints of the Most High God, knowing what God is doing today and how He's doing it, and knowing that when they draw their last breath, that's only a promotion into glory beyond this life. And we can say with Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. If you've never been saved, trust Him. God Almighty died for you and sent a man to tell you about it. Receive that free gift. God will save you. And if you are saved, then determine that you're going to stand for the truth so that you might be a light to other people and show them the truth of God's Word so that they might have the same joy and the same freedom and the same liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Would you stand me for prayer?